Thank you for the kind invitation to give a talk here, as well as to participate in the panel later on. Thank you also for the fantastic presentations from our Icelandic colleagues here. It's always very interesting and fruitful to hear what is going on in other countries, and particularly in other Nordic countries. I also like to thank you, and this is the last thank you, I promise, for laying the groundwork, if you will, for much of what I'm saying today in my presentation. So I'll skip some of the bits and parts that we've already been talking about today. And I know that I shouldn't be starting my presentation with apologizing. Thank yous are okay, apologies are a bit awkward. But I do apologize that the topic that I chose, because it is quite broad. But I promise there will be another sort of headline that I'll show later on that perhaps is more apt given today's topic, which is, of course, CPD and the Global Biodiversity Framework. But before we can start to sort of answer particularly the question that what Finland is doing in relation to the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, it's important to understand that we are doing already a lot of things on various different kind of levels. So it's important that although Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework is a very important framework for Finland as well, it's by no means the only one. So as always, with any kind of national, let alone international, politics and policies, it's actually a web work of different kinds of commitments, regulatory things, and so on and so forth. So I'll be saying first a few words about the sort of overarching global European national frameworks, and then I move on to the actual part of what Finland is doing. So I won't be spending a lot of time on this. We've already been hearing about the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework. I will be noting one thing, though. Just 2 days ago, we got a notice from the CBD secretary saying that they are discontinuing the biodiversity plan branding completely. Yes, and we're going back to the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, which is, of course, a bit of a mouthful. And this is a regrettable thing, but it's kind of a news flash. So there you go. I'll be talking about Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework. You can say that it is actually still a quite ambitious international agreement that was forged 2 years ago. And it does guide global action for nature towards 2030. We've already been hearing a lot about the 23 targets plus the sort of 2050 vision that is behind them, so I won't be spending a lot of time on that. I do note that the thing that I think Rebecca was already touching upon, which is that although today I'll be concentrating mostly on targets 2 and 3, unfortunately not so much 7, which is one of the three targets that Hanna-Kaisa was mentioning in the beginning of today, there are a whole variety of different kinds of targets, and you have to understand that it's really a package. It's although we talk a lot about targets 2 and 3, for good reasons, they're by no means the only ones, and sometimes it feels a little unfair that we're always picking especially those two. So there's a lot of important components in the Global Biodiversity Framework, and this is also reflected to national policies of the signatory countries. Something else that is really important is, of course, the legislation coming from the EU. Now, you mentioned that Iceland is not part of the EU. Well, Finland is part of the EU. And one of the sort of biggest sort of developments in relation to biodiversity-related policies and laws is, of course, EU's nature restoration law that came into force 18th of August this year. So it's a fairly new thing still. It does introduce a general objective to introduce restoration measures throughout the EU, covering at least 20% of applicable land and sea area and ecosystems by 2030, and all ecosystems in need of restoration by 2050. So there is a significant amount of overlap with the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework here, but it's not exactly the same thing. However, this is obligatory legislation also here in Finland, and currently we are starting with the lead of the Ministry of the Environment to devise a national restoration plan for which we have 2 years deadline to finish with, after which the actual implementation starts. The national restoration plan in detail specifies what each member state is doing in order to meet the nature restoration law's targets. So just sort of a background information and good to bear in mind that, again, there's a lot of things that interact here. So now coming to the thing that is closest to my own responsibilities, which is the National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan, or friendly NBSAPs. These are required by the Article 6 of the Convention on Biological Diversity, as well as the still fairly new Finnish Nature Conservation Law. So there's national and international obligations for Finland to devise a national biodiversity strategy and action plan. This is, of course, the main implementation instrument for the signatories of the CBD to define what exactly they are doing in order to meet the targets defined in the various agreements within the CBD. This is not the first one. We already heard that there was a previous one, which covered, roughly speaking, the years 2012 to 2020 and included the so-called Aichi targets. Now, the assessment on the previous strategy period concluded that, first of all, as we already heard, most of the targets were not met, and only and as much as about two-thirds of the actions had only a minor positive impact on biodiversity. So all in all, we can't say that the previous period was very successful in Finland or globally. Now, we started developing the new national NBSAP already back in 2021 and wanted to finalize it after the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework was agreed. But unfortunately, for various reasons, we are still in the middle of the process of developing a national biodiversity strategy and action plan, which is to say we haven't had one approved by the government yet. That's important to remember. And maybe just to say that one sort of important new aspect of our national biodiversity action plan, biodiversity strategy and action plan, is what Catherine was already emphasizing in earlier presentation, is that we're perhaps putting more effort on the actual drivers behind the biodiversity loss instead of looking at the state of nature and such. So there's a clear sort of emphasis on pressures and root causes behind biodiversity loss. Now, if you're interested in what exactly are the currently drafted targets within our National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan and how those perhaps relate to the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework's targets, you can go to the online reporting tool of CBD, which now also includes the drafted targets of our National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan that we have reported to the CBD in head of the ongoing conference of parties, COP16. We haven't submitted our National Biodiversity Action Strategy and Action Plan because it is unfinished, but at least you can see what kind of targets the draft currently includes. Okay, so that's the background. And I hope to have a little time to try to answer this question, which is something that I'm sure many are very interested in. But again, I emphasize, strictly speaking, if we start from the point that the National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan is our main vehicle of national implementation, then the answer would be nothing, because we don't have a National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan currently. However, that of course would be wrong, because we're doing tons of things already and we'll continue to do those. So I'll try to address particularly targets 2 and 3 here. Now, target 2, of course, states that the target of restoring 30% of all degraded ecosystems globally. It's important to remember that the GBF doesn't allocate the targets between different signatories. So it doesn't say, you know, Finland does this and that, and maybe, you know, Uganda does this and that. But it's up to the signatories to define how they contribute to that overall global target. For Finland, it's currently impossible to quantify the exact extent of restoration measures. However, we do have a rough ballpark estimate by the end of 2024. The actions covered by our environmental administration, so that excludes, for example, private operators, covers roughly about 50,000 hectares, a little more than 50,000 hectares of restored areas, of which about 19,000 hectares, which is a significant chunk, has been done within the confines of Helmi environment program between years 2020 and 2024. And it's good to bear in mind that the nature restoration law that I described previously is, in a sense, already being implemented across Finland. But of course, the scale and resources of the current measures are largely insufficient, and we need to boost our operations quite substantially in order to meet the targets both within the GPF and the nature restoration law. There are, of course, a lot of low-hanging fruits, most notably the extinction of existing programs. I already mentioned Helmi. We have multiple others, Nousu, Ahti, Sotka, that cover the sectors of the Ministry of the Environment and the Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry, most notably. And so these are certainly the kind of well-received and well-known programs that will continue also into the future. Then target three, the so-called 30 by 30 target, which, as I already mentioned, oftentimes receives quite a lot of attention. I'm going to sort of cut down a little the target here. I think Rebecca was calling this the main title, and these are perhaps the elements, but it's good to bear in mind that the elements are significant in themselves. If we're only looking at the percentage, we get it wrong, because the definitions contained within the elements are very significant, but I'm going to do exactly that and kind of forget those for the time being and give you an idea where we might be in terms of this 30% target. Now, the Forest Biodiversity Program for Southern Finland, Metso, is our main sort of instrument currently in achieving new voluntary-based protection, especially when it comes to forest regions. And here you can see how we have been advancing in terms of Metso program since its conception in 2008. Now, it's been well received again. It's been underfunded. There is more supply than there is actually government money to be used in order to buy forest offered by forest owners when they have biodiversity values. So you can ask the questions that if we would continue on this route based on voluntariness and the idea that the government will pay a due compensation for the regions that are offered by forest owners, we can sort of do this kind of a quick calculation. First of all, I like to remind that this is partly irrelevant because there is currently no national 30% target. Finland has not set a national 30% target, but anywho's. Currently, the latest statistics kind of show us that currently about 13.4% of the terrestrial and inland water areas are protected, and about 11% of sea areas. The National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan draft includes targets on how much we should actually sort of increase that, but I'm not going to go deep into those. I'm going to pay attention to the fact that, for comparison, the Metso program that I just described has an overall objective of 69,000 hectares, which will be achieved, it looks like, by the end of 2025 when the program ends. But that will conclude 17 years' worth of work and about €500 million of euros that have gone into that program in purchasing these areas. And it will increase the overall protection percentage in Finland 0.3 percentage points. So that will give you an idea of the magnitude if we were looking at going towards 30%, of, if we were going towards 30%, then what that might mean. And of course here, strict protection is not the only tool in the box. For example, the other effective area-based conservation measures defined by the CBD are something else than strict protection, and we're looking into how to develop that concept nationally as well in order to meet something that is relatable in terms of the CBD. Okay, so that's targets two and three, and I just want to highlight at the end of my talk, I'll be finished soon, again, the point that there are other targets. We already saw in Rebecca's presentation, target 12 in Icelandic condition or in context. I like to make the point in the first figure that I showed is that there are levels beneath the central government level here in Finland as well. There's the regional and the local, which is really important. So here's an example of a regional biodiversity action plan from Pirkanmaa, and here's an example cover from a local biodiversity action plan from the city of Tampere, showing that there are all of these different levels that are interacting. And of course, when we talk about biodiversity, the closer we go to the local level, the more we start to talk about the actual measures. And the final slide here is touching something that was discussed in the previous discussion from the question from the audience is that what is the private sector doing? So here's just an example relating to the GPF Target 15, which states that businesses assess, disclose, and reduce biodiversity-related risks and negative impacts. And as we already heard, there's interest in this in Iceland. The situation is similar in Finland. For example, the Ilmarinen, which is our largest pension investment and insurance company, already in 2022 published their own roadmap for biodiversity. That's financial institution. Of course, the usual suspects, which is the Finnish forestry industry and the Central Union for Agriculture and Forest Producers have both published their own biodiversity roadmaps, as has the Finnish construction industry. So there's a whole lot of these different roadmaps available, and I'd like to stop my presentation in saying that in Finland, at least, we're not lacking planning. There's a lot of planning, there's a lot of strategies, but as I think is emphasized in today's theme, it really matters when it comes down to implementation, and for that, unfortunately, I can't tell you a whole lot before we first have the national strategy and action plan approved, so we can then sort of start seriously talk about the implementation. Thank you.